Technology, it's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun, it can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look into stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tongakar. There's a certain allure to crime scene forensics. What else could explain the immense popularity of the CSI television franchise? According to the firm Media Metrics, the original CSI was the most watched program in the world last year. This idea of investigators linking suspects to crimes using trace amounts of evidence, well, that's pretty exciting to a lot of people. But how accurate are these media depictions? KBIA's Intersection attempted to answer this very question on a recent episode. On the show, I spoke to Mike Himmel. He's a retired detective and criminal justice instructor at Columbia College. I also spoke to Bill Marbaker. He's the crime lab director for the Missouri State Highway Patrol. And finally, I also spoke to Captain Tim Hull. He's the director of public information and education for the Missouri State Highway Patrol. Marbaker started by discussing what he called the CSI effect.
We do have something called the CSI effect.
Yes, we do.
And in some courts, the prosecutors say, they're almost afraid to present a trial without DNA evidence, for example, because the people see that, on TV, and that's what the jurors expect. So the CSI effect has led to some courtroom challenges to try to educate the jury that there are technologies out there besides what they see on TV and criminal investigative techniques that are not necessarily as are portrayed on TV. The CSI effect has had a positive effect on us in terms of the pool of potential applicants wanting to come to work at labs. It's spawned a lot of good forensic science programs around the nation, and we're seeing people once again engage in the sciences. We were getting into a big problem with brain drain in our nation, and we're seeing a large influx now of kids coming out of college with science backgrounds again. So I think that's been a big positive.
How much has enrollment increased, or rather interest in these programs? I mean, do you see like an actual effect out as a result of CSI and like those types of programs?
Well, it's increased quite a bit. We've gone from a criminal justice degree and that's all we used to offer, to where we were one of the first colleges in the nation to and there's others, but we were on the forefront to offer a forensic science degree with a biology track or a chemistry track. And so and now we're the administration's working on a master's in forensic science. We're building a new science building. And within that science building, we've designed a forensic science classroom where we have a mini lab seated teaching as a normal classroom, and then we've got a simulation room, wall moves, and we can go into a simulation room where we can actually do hands-on practical applications of bloodstain reconstructions, trajectory reconstruction, like bullet trajectory reconstructions. So we've seen those type of impacts that it's gotten so important, we've actually split away. If you're going to be a police officer, you go get a CJ degree, criminal justice degree. If you're going to want to go to the lab, going to get a chemistry degree or forensic science backup on that, or vice versa, or biology. But forensics has become so important, you've actually seen the criminal justice concept split to where you actually have a criminal justice degree and a forensic science degree directed for those that want to be, say, a criminalist or an ID officer for a department or eventually go to work for a crime lab. Your people going after the forensic science degrees are looking at civilian evidence tech jobs around the nation or working at crime labs. So we've actually seen that's a positive effect.
Okay. Well, that new interest is, that is a positive. Are there any, negative effects of the CSI effect? I mean, do lay people, for example, think that they can solve a crime?
Right. I'm sure victims of crime are probably influenced by that when they expect the crime to be solved in 43 minutes, and it doesn't always happen that way. I think generally now, once we're past all the CSI euphoria that swept the planet, 10 years ago or however long it's been on, I think people are finally understanding, and they realize that, you know, that these people are actors, and they're not, you know, one Sunday or one evening the actor will be specializing in trace evidence. The next week he'll be specializing in firearms identification, and they're carrying badges and guns and arresting people and solving it. And that's I think they understand the entertainment.
In 35 years of working forensics or crime scene, I've interviewed one murder suspect. And I hardly ever carried a gun because that wasn't my assignment. I was working crime scene. So it's nothing like that on TV. My wife was watching one of the CSI shows on TV, and you know, with the people working the crime scene in stiletto heels and I, you know, fancy $3,000 suits. And she asked, says, did you ever have a partner that looked like that? And I said, darling, I love you dearly. But if I did, I wouldn't have retired. <You know? laughs> But it's a TV show. And I think you're correct. People have figured out that. For the majority, I figured out it's a TV show. It's entertainment. But we still have juries sometimes without that have that CSI mentality. They have a higher expectation because of the technology that's out there. If they don't see it or hear it, then they wonder what's wrong.
Okay. Well, we only have about 2 minutes left, but I just thought we can close the show by talking about, you know, why someone would be drawn to this profession.
Well, what I tell my students and what I thought is, as an evidence tech, you're the last living person in this world that can communicate with the deceased, not in a morbid sense, but that can communicate and bring justice to their loss. And what greater loss is it than your life? And that's why we have to bring our A game to the table every time we go to the crime scene. So we have to be prepared to give our best effort. So,
yeah. Okay. What drew me to this profession was, you know, all my life I had just a general interest in law enforcement, but it wasn't the compelling interest, you know, to drive me directly toward that career. I always had an interest in the sciences, and starting in the eighth grade is when I really got interested in chemistry. Through high school, more into chemistry, especially since the chemistry teacher was also the hockey coach, and I was wanting to stay in good graces with the hockey coach because I was on the team. But in college, it just, you know, I just fell into the chemistry, but I never lost my passion for the law enforcement thing. You know, I read a lot of, you know, novels and I watched a lot of television. You know, maybe fell prey to CSI myself a little bit, but, you know, in his earlier years. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I got with my chemistry degree in hand. I say, you know, do I want to just do quality control on paint samples at a paint factory all my life, or do I want to do something that's going to make a difference? And I learned about this profession and pursued it, and it's been almost 30, it'll be 35 years in July.
And that's it for this week's Under the Microscope. To listen to the entire Intersection episode that this interview was taken from, just visit our website, kbia.org. I'm Raymond Tongatar. Thanks for listening.